You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
This DIY feature is proudly sponsored by Paintsmiths Long Beach. Service and knowledge with...
I visit Paintsmiths for all things paint and revamp.
I visit Paintsmiths for trade and paint contractor advice.
And we are here for each individual or business in the valley. Service and knowledge with pleasure. Paintsmiths Long Beach. Bulolo Dive, Sunnydale.
It's 10:30 and time for the DIY feature with Sean Anderson from Anderson Improvements. Good morning, Sean, and welcome back.
Good morning on this wet few days that we've had.
And you've been pretty busy as well.
Very busy, but yeah, I could do with a bit of sunshine now. Yeah.
And sometimes we need it, but we, in all fairness, we've had fabulous weather, so I suppose this was expected.
We have. We just don't want to be like England now, so we can bring back this little bit of sunshine.
But this type of weather keeps you busy, doesn't it?
Well, it depends. If we don't like going back to jobs, so you've got to make sure that whatever you've done now in the past is now... this is when you know if you've done the right thing or the wrong thing.
All right. So this morning is questions and answers. Right. So I've got some lined up here for you. So first of all, what questions do you actually ask a builder?
There's the process of building. Let's take a new project.
Yes.
It's a relationship between you and the client. So you have to have trust. You have to definitely communicate with each other properly.
Yes.
So it would start with the first meeting. You've got to have a good feel for each other, make sure that you're on the same page, and start with a plan. It all starts with a plan before the builder even arrives. So you've got to make sure that you as the client or as the you want to do a project, that you get the architect involved or a designer and have all your planning ideas put on paper and then approach a builder. A lot of people, I get a lot of phone calls, they say, just a rough idea, how much is this going to cost? Or, let me know how much it's going to cost. That's very difficult to thumb suck. So I always tell people, rather get your plans done. Ideally, get your plans approved, because the whole approval process takes forever. But if you are set on your plans and you can normally get at least 2 to 3 builders in. Let them have a look at the plans and let them quote according to the plan. That's after you've put in all the little ideas that you want to put in. Yeah.
Yes. So what questions should they ask when besides? So now we've done the plan. So what questions should they be asking you?
Well, a portfolio, maybe references of previous work that you've done. And a good builder should have more than a handful of good clients to deal with. You need to just references, things like that.
Yeah, so it would be starting like, are you licensed? What is your warranty? Because obviously you do have a warranty. I mean, that goes with your snag list anyway, doesn't it?
You got to make sure they have all the certification. They belong to the NHBRC, which is the main thing that most builders have to belong to. The BIBC is a building council, and that's where at least you know that he's registered with all the right people.
Yes,
and.
And then a big thing is insurance, because, I mean, that covers you as a builder and obviously covers the client.
A builder should have liability insurance, for sure, and also for his staff, to make sure that his staff on site, if something happens, that it doesn't fall on the client.
Yes.
So he needs to have the proper liability insurance, insurance on your property. So if the house, part of the wall falls down during construction, that he's covered.
And that's quite important, is it? Have you had any kind of issues like that?
I've had small issues where my guys have dropped bricks on a patio roof. It just happens during construction, even with all the precautions that you take. My insurance covered the full repair, and everybody was happy. That's the issue now when things are tight. People don't have a lot of money lying around, so they look for the cheap builder. They look for guys who don't have, you know, they don't belong to proper agencies or unions, or they don't have the insurance. And then if something happens, those guys walk away.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I don't have the money to fix it.
Yeah. And of late, I've noticed on media as well, builders just walked out, please, I'm desperate, can someone please come and complete it? So that obviously refers to this kind of thing. If there's no insurance or something's gone wrong, you know, and the client, you know, either way, you don't have the money to
see, unfortunately, there are good guys out there, a lot of foreigners that live in settlements around here from, you know, they're looking for work. So people, they're cheap and they get them into to build a wall for them or something, or and next thing the wall falls down or they didn't do the proper foundation, they will try and save money because they don't have the backup.
Yes.
And then your foundation fails and then your wall, then you, yeah, they run away. They can't come back, yeah, and
so
fix
it. So it's a chance that you take in either way.
You know? You need to have a reputable builder, someone, yes, that's been around. As I said, look at references, you know, not friends of theirs, but someone that's, yes, been in the trade.
Yeah. That's important, not friends. Look for, yeah, genuine references.
And you should say, can I go view these properties? Can I actually inspect some of your work?
Do they do that? When you offer that, say, so you can go and view.
If my clients asked me, I could take them to a previous.
So then you actually take them to the previous.
I would have to get permission from my previous clients.
Oh, that's awesome, yeah, to know. Wow. Yeah. Then, Sean, why is regular maintenance in a household so important?
It's just your house is a continuous project. It's maintenance on a, you know, the weather takes its toll on a house. That's exterior of your house. So your wooden windows will deteriorate. Your roof sheets will deteriorate, or, you know, guttering you've got to maintain. Make sure you keep water away from your house for damp issues. So it's on and on. If you leave it for more than 10 years, then you're going to be spending a lot of money. So continuous maintenance definitely will save you in the long term.
Yes, and getting back to gutters, because it is so important now that winter is here. It is so important that gutters should be cleaned and checked, because this is now where it's a build-up with the rain we're having, and it's causing issues.
Yeah, I've just done my own gutters recently. So, yeah, you need to make sure your gutters aren't full of leaves and wash them out. Make sure the downpipes aren't blocked. You might clean the gutters, but the downpipes are actually blocked. So just check that everything's free-flowing.
Yes.
As I say, keep water away from your house. You don't want your foundations or areas around your house to get flooded, because that can cause damp problems on the inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And can you repair a broken gutter?
It depends, for sure. If you got,
what would you suggest?
If it's PVC, you can repair them. Make sure it's all dry and clean before you do. And you've got special connections and connectors that you can use too. And aluminium gutters, there are guys that specialize in aluminium guttering, and they will come and do some repair work for you. They'll charge you a call-out fee.
Yes.
But yeah, then
do they all charge call-out fees?
Yeah, they would come out and to be a small job. If say you got a leaking downpipe or your downpipe is broken or something, they would come and replace or repair.
Yeah. And something else very important. What happens if you would like your gutter, you're not happy where it is, and you would like to move it to where you preference as a builder? Does that happen?
They would come out and charge you for that specific part of the job. Yeah. So I would phone them and just send them a picture of the issue or something, and then they can give you a price. Before they come, it's a quick job. So when they come, they will do it at the same time.
Yeah. Right. And some of them, what is this when they come with the vehicle and they actually roll it out? What is that called?
So the process of aluminium gutters. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So the company would come out. They normally would have quite a large trailer that's attached to the vehicle. And in that trailer is a special machine that folds aluminium sheets.
And
that they can run that sheet to the full length that you need, so you don't have any joints. That's why they're called seamless aluminium guttering, which is why people prefer them. There's no joins except for the ends, obviously, yes, and where the downpipe comes in.
All right. Is that the way to go nowadays, seamless
gutters? I would definitely recommend aluminium guttering, yeah. It's not too costly, but it will definitely last a lot longer, and it looks a lot nicer. Yeah. It looks, gives you a nice finish. Right.
And the PVC, obviously, after
your cheaper option is the PVC, but they normally always start leaking at the joints or, you know, but it depends on...
That causes issues.
It's in the end, it does. Yeah.
So, Sean, what certificates do you need to sign of, you know, of to sign for a house to be resaled?
Yeah. So we'll go back to the what you would ask a builder. So a builder would have to work with the engineer. Number one is informing the building inspector. So any new project, the building inspector would have to come and inspect the site. You should meet the builder. And the builder should run through the job with the inspector and explain the process. So, and the two of them need to, the building inspector would come around on the first episode and also to inspect the foundations. So the first two meetings. Yeah. But a structural engineer overrules the building inspector as what happens with the construction. He's actually the... He runs the site.
He's the man.
He's the man. So everything runs through the structural engineer. In the end, he needs to sign off the project. And the builder needs to listen to him. So that is the process now. So very important, structural engineer. And he would give a multiple certificates for the job. So it would be your roofing certificate, which is the A19. He gives you a completion certificate, a form four or form one, form four, I think it is. And that would sign off the structural part of the job. Then further to that, any plumbing that's been done on the project would have to have a plumbing certificate. So make sure that you use a registered plumber. We'll go back to registered guys. So this is where if you're getting... Guys that are from, you know,
locals.
Guys on the side of the road.
Not qualified.
Not qualified. Yeah. No proper papers. You're going to pay in the end. Yeah. It might save you for the actual job, but then when it comes to signing off, you're gonna struggle.
So they are obviously the ones that you, and there's many, many that people do. And I see lots of truck buckies stopping and they just jump in. So they cannot give a COC for anything, can they?
No, they literally. They literally just there to do the job. Yeah. As I said, they don't have any backup and
Because you need a CSE for plumbing now.
Yeah, so it's a plumbing. The plumbing certificate to make sure that all the plumbing is to standard and what's required. Then your electrician, any electrical work needs electrical certificate. That's been around forever. And the newest one would be your glazing, your glass certificate. We've just had a job where the house couldn't be signed off until we had the glass certificate, and it's all got to do with environmentally energy efficiency on the glass. So if you put cheap glass in or you get the wrong contractor, you could have to replace all your windows in the house.
Really? So you can't just put a normal.
No, it has to be to a certain energy efficiency standard. It's all got to do with. And the safety glass, even your shower panels that you have in your house, or if you have glass balustrades, they would want certificates for all of those. So if you have different companies doing different things, make sure they can offer you certificate.
I think this is important that we're putting it out to our listeners because I didn't know that. So if you're going to go and do a walk-in shower, because I want to ask you some questions about that. So that the walk-in shower, you've got the, is it called a shower glass?
Would be covered if you bought it, a standard shower glass that came out of a factory.
Yes.
It would come with its own certification because it's you say CTM or Buco or Builders. They would have their own certification on that product.
So you wouldn't then need to get a CSE for that?
If you show the receipt, if they want it, they could
you
can give them detail on it. But when you get customized glass, so these are guys that come and put in a frame, custom shower panels or custom balustrades, things like this, make sure that they are certified. Yeah.
Yes. Well, what do you mean by glazed?
Glazing glass.
Is that what it's called? Glazing glass.
Yeah. Especially shower panels and balustrades have to be a specific toughened glass. It goes through a toughening process. So, yeah. So there's you would need a full certification on that.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's go to a bathroom now. Removing a bath. And underneath that bath, with all the leaks, the wood is actually rotten away. What does one do with that?
Look, you always assess the situation first. Yes. Have a look at where the possible leak was. You would only know that once you take the bath out.
Yes.
And then just cut out the damaged parts of whatever's under there.
Yeah.
Obviously, if it's a concrete floor, then that's not an issue.
And if it's not a concrete floor?
On timber, you'd have to cut out the rotten piece.
Yes.
And then you either install another timber piece and then obviously new tech boards as well.
Yes. So you would have to reinforce first the bottom, you know.
You'd have to redo the timber framework or something, or add timber framework. To just stabilize the floor again.
If you've just tuned in, good morning, Khuyamore, and welcome. We are busy with the DIY feature with Sean Anderson from Anderson Improvements, and we are busy with questions and answers. So, Sean, when you remove asbestos, and I'm sure many, many homes, that, especially here in the Deep South, especially the old homes, what are the requirements?
Yeah, so, yeah, Fishhook, a lot of houses are in the Fishhook area. Those old asbestos gutters, you got those asbestos roof sheets. Look, if it's not tampered with, if you don't fiddle with asbestos, then it's safe. The moment you start to cut into it or disrupt it, it becomes a health hazard and toxic, obviously, causes big issues.
Do some of those houses, the ceilings, are they asbestos as well or not? Is it not so?
Yeah, going back, they it used to be the miracle product. Everything had asbestos in it, even water tanks.
Oh.
So, it used to be everything was asbestos. But slowly it's getting people are getting rid of them. Obviously, as you put new gutters on, you get rid of your old asbestos guttering. Now we get a lot of calls, what do we do with this asbestos? Because you can't dump it. You're not allowed to go and just chuck it at your local dump site because you'll get fined or maybe even a criminal offense.
Because they say it's extremely poisonous, isn't it?
Well, it can give you cancers and asbestosis.
Oh, dear.
There's a whole lot of disease, things, health issues that come with asbestos. So it's become a big problem. As I say, you can't take things into your own hands and go and try and offload asbestos. So there are multiple companies, not a lot, but multiple companies that are registered and licensed to work with asbestos removal. So they would charge you a fee. I've done one recently where they had to come and remove all the roof slate tiles, and they give you a once-off fee. In this case, it was just over 20,000 rand.
Sure.
But they arrive and they come with a full hazmat outfit, masks. Yeah, they look like they're stepping out of a COVID lab or a proper quarantine situation.
Yes.
But they take it seriously. And then I think there's one or two places in the Western Cape that are actually asbestos can be taken to. But to deal with it, you have to have the right certification and
you
paperwork.
You also get a certificate for that, saying they have removed the asbestos. Do you also get that kind of thing?
Yeah, the company that does the removal would issue you with a certificate or to show that they are certified as a document. So you can also follow up with them, make sure they're not a fly-by-night and just showing you a fraudulent certificate, because that could get you into a lot of trouble if authorities catch up with you.
I'm sure you can. So when they come in, obviously everyone mustn't be on site or even in the house. Is that correct?
They isolate the site, yeah. Oh, yes. So your own builders or contractors would have to be off-site during that process, and then they would come and strip all the asbestos and just make sure the site is safe. And then once the asbestos removal has happened, then everything can carry on. Yeah. So, you know, you can't just, a lot of people cannot just dig a hole and put it down in the ground, you know. So it's, yeah. It's, yeah.
So when your laminate, another one, your laminated flooring that's damaged, you know, what kind of options do you have for the flooring?
Yeah, we get this a lot. You know, the old original laminate, the cheap laminate flooring, is the one where it just sits on your on the concrete.
That became very popular.
Yeah, it's a cheaper option. It's popular. The only issue is if you have a geyser that bursts in that house, or your a burst pipe, or even if your domestic throws a bucket of water over by accident. Those laminate flooring will fail. It starts to swell, they expand, and then they pop. And then you're going to end up with and they also discolor. You know, if they're in a very hot area where the sun comes right through the glass, you'll see it starts to wear quite badly. So they're not ideal. They're not the best flooring option that you can choose. Other alternatives would either be tiling. A lot of people are still, they don't like the coldness of tiles. Tiles are the best maintenance option, though, as far as they don't really discolor. They, you know, you can throw water, you can mess wine, you can.
I like that one, mess wine.
Yeah, they tend to have the longest lifespan.
Yes.
The good alternative to that would be the vinyl flooring plank. Very nice. A lot of the coffee shops, you know, hospitals, a lot of people in hardware places are using the vinyl flooring now. They come in a variety of different colors, textures. They give a nice finish, and yeah, they're water resistant.
Okay. And is it easy? It's obviously easy to lay down, to tile.
I would again go to a certified guy that knows what he's doing. Otherwise, the product itself is quite expensive, and most of the top guys would do a self leveling screed first. Just to make sure that your subfloor, the floor that you put in the vinyl on, is 100% level. And so you're not going to have any dipping or problems going.
So we got the last question. Regrouting patio tiles, that is so important.
Yeah, patio tiles, again, it depends if it's on the first floor. First floor would mean that patio would have a derby gum, like a waterproof torch on, or some form of waterproofing under that tile. So you've got to be very careful that when you regrout or repoint, that you don't penetrate that waterproofing that's under the tile. So it's quite a careful, meticulous job. A little bit of elbow grease, and just you need to get rid of any of the loose grouting or loose pointing cement work. Once you get rid of the loose cement and you've cleaned up all the areas, then you can start regrouting or repointing.
What kind of tool would you use to remove that grouting?
You get very fine chisels that you can use, very thin, fine chisels. If you're just going to the top area of the tile, you can use a small grinder. But as again, you have to be very careful you don't penetrate too deep. So this will be just for the top layer that you can loosen up. And then it's just chiseling out very slowly, yeah.
And then regrouting. This is something you can do yourself if you know what
you're
doing.
We'd get someone who knows what they're. Otherwise, you could end up with big problems, yeah. Right. So,
Well, that's it, Sean. time has run out for us as well. So
get back into the rain.
Yes, you want to give out your contact number?
It's 083-316-5752. It's Anderson Improvements.
There we go, Sean. Thank you for coming in.
Ciao.
And good luck. Be safe out there. Ciao.
That DIY feature was brought to you by Paintsmiths Long Beach. Service and knowledge. With pleasure. I visit Paintsmiths for all things paint and revamp.
I visit Paintsmiths for trade and paint contractor advice.
And we are here for each individual or business in the valley. Service and knowledge. With pleasure. Paintsmiths Long Beach. Bulalo Drive, Sunnydale.